significant contributions to and leadership in the profession of information management. So with that, Deb, I will unmute you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, Deb.
Great. Okay, great. Thanks. Well, I'm on the tail end of a cold, so hopefully my voice will hold out for our whole session today. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm excited to share with you some of the tips I'm going to give today. And just so you know, transforming knowledge and expertise into strategic value is my theme for 2013. Cindy Romaine really started us on a good track with having themes, and hers, of course, was Future Ready, and Brent's is Career Agility, and I've kind of taken that to the next level. So let me just talk a little bit about what we're going to cover today. And I will try to talk slowly because I'm excited about what I'm talking about, and I tend to talk quickly when I'm excited about things. So we're going to talk about what's in it for me, this career agility and this transformation, and where are we going as information professionals and librarians? What are some of our roles that could be inside and outside the library realm? Maybe some that you've thought of, maybe some that you haven't thought of. And then how are we going to turn information and knowledge into strategic information into strategic knowledge that has strategic value? And then how are we going to demonstrate our value? I think that's one of the things that a lot of us struggle with. And I've been doing coaching lately, which I'm really enjoying, working with colleagues and helping them to especially to be able to shout from the rooftops what they bring to the table. So let's talk a little bit about what's in it for me. If we were in a room, I would ask for a show of hands of how many of you have been laid off in the last year or ever. And I would be one of those people who would raise my hands. And what I found is when I talk to people that a lot of us have been laid off. And I'd also ask, you know, how many of you who are now in a job feel really secure in your job? And another question I would ask is, have you ever been passed over for a promotion that maybe you felt that you were the one who deserved it, but somebody else got it, or even for a job? And then are you active in SLA or another association? Well, we can't wait for the jobs to come to us. We must be out there networking, being active in professional associations, and upgrading our skill set continually. And when I say active, I don't just mean you are a member. I mean you are attending both in-person and virtual events such as this one. You are volunteering on a committee or in some other capacity. In other words, you're not being passive, because being passive isn't going to get you very far. And you know, if you're not comfortable with Web 2.0 skills, that is a must too. That's something to think about. Where are you with that? And remember, SLA has its 23 things that's free to all members that you can do at your own pace. And there's a lot of other good resources out there as well. And for those of you that are in jobs now, what is your biggest concern as far as job security goes? That needs to define what you are doing on the job every day and how you are increasing your skill set. So don't be smug in your current job. So who are we? Well, we librarians or information professionals definitely aren't what we once were. If we play our KM or knowledge engineer cards right, there are very few areas in any organization in which we won't have significant contributions to make. So this is where we become invaluable as we shed or expand old roles and become part of the solution, not perceived as part of the overhead. Really important that we're seen as contributing positively to the bottom line. So I'm going to tell you a story. And my theme, as you know, here is, do I look like a librarian? A few years ago, I was working with a client. It was a global architectural firm on a digital asset management project. And when I do projects for clients like this, document management, digital asset management, enterprise content management, I come in at kind of the 30,000 or 50,000 foot level. So I come in and work with them to do an information audit or needs assessment, find out where their pain points are, what's working and what's not working, where they're spinning their wheels, that sort of thing. And help develop a taxonomy, metadata schema, find a solution for what is their problem and their challenges. And then I recommend that they hire a librarian to come on board to actually do the indexing of their assets. And so I was working directly with the CEO of this firm, and I wrote a job description up for this librarian that I wanted them to hire. Now, I didn't tell him it was going to be a librarian. He just said, we need somebody to do the job. And I said, well, I know exactly what we're going to do, and how we're going to write this job description up. And I actually already had somebody in mind, and this is where networking comes in handy, though we did interview several people. But in this job description, I had required a master's in library and information science. And I remember when the CEO, I emailed it to him, and we talked on the phone, and he said, a librarian could not possibly do this work. And I said, well, I have a library degree. And he was shocked by that. There was silence on the other end of the line. And, you know, even though there's that MLS on my business card, I don't know what people think it means, but I have found that I don't tell them, sadly, at the beginning of projects or when we're in negotiations, that I have a library degree, because it limits their perception of what I bring to the table. And that's a sad state, but it's a true one. And so I do tell them. They all learn eventually that I have a library degree, but not until they have really bought into what I do bring to a project. And so something for us to think about is, you know, does it matter? And how would you answer these questions? You know, what's in a name? Who are we? What do we want to be called? And does it matter? So that's something for you to think about. So the next thing I want to talk about is, where are we going as information professionals and librarians? We need to know this. And we need to practice this if we are to control where we are going and how we'll get there. We want to be in control of our destiny and our careers. We don't want others to be the ones that are telling us where we're going. So it's really important to remember that. I don't know about you, but I think in the last several years, I kind of feel like I've been on this roller coaster, because change is happening so fast. Some of the things that we've experienced, I'm sure most of you have, is disintermediation. You know, that's where people say, well, we don't need you because we can search Google. And a really good analogy to that is a travel agency. Think about the last time you booked a flight or went on a trip. How many of you used a travel agent? My guess is not very many of you. Most of you probably booked most of your hotel reservations and flight reservations and other things on your own. Well, you know, we're kind of in the same boat. Unfortunately, people think that they can do their own research. We've all experienced this. So how do we deal with that? We've had budget cuts, so that's led to staff reductions, and there's things of outsourcing and temporary and contract workers. And often those jobs, because they are temporary or their contract work, do not include benefits and other things that we might get in a regular position. Globalization is something that has really begun to take its toll, because people look around and go, oh, we can go offshore to outsource this for a lot less money. And I'll tell you, last night I was at the Silicon Valley chapter of SLA's holiday party, and Kate Arnold, who will be our president-elect starting January 1st, bless her heart, it was 4 a.m. in the morning, but she came in via Skype and video and spoke to us about whether we really are an international association. And one of the things she talked about was globalization, and you'll be hearing more about that as time goes on, because I want her to share the things that she shared with us last night with all of the membership. And the last thing is social media. Not only are we as individuals experiencing this, but associations are too, because people feel they don't need an association, or maybe their expert is out there somewhere on LinkedIn. They don't need us. So these are things for us to keep in mind. So what are we doing about this? Well, we know that we need to be proactive. Are we going to sit back and whine about this, or are we going to do something about it? We have to be proactive, taking control of our work and our profession. We may feel powerless to overcome some trends, but if we give up, we are sure to fail. So it's really important to think about getting education and investing in yourself. And one of the things I hear a lot from colleagues is, my employer does not pay for my attendance at conference or my professional memberships, but we have to invest in ourselves. We can't depend on others to do that for us. And if we don't invest in ourselves, how can we expect others to do that? So I have two fun quotes here. Stephen Abram, you all know who he is. He says, LIS, or library and information science skills, are good currency, but only for those with the flexibility and the insight to exploit the opportunities. So we have to go beyond those skills. And then Jill Hurstwall, who's at Syracuse University School of Information Studies, said, hiring managers assume that someone with an MLIS degree has learned the requisite library skills. What differentiates job candidates are the other skills that managers want. So we have to think about this. Are we exploiting and taking advantage of the opportunities in our work? Are we being proactive and saying, I can do that, or we see a need and take on a project that no one else will or can. If we think we are too busy, and we are all busy, we shut out opportunities. Let things go that no one else cares about, or at least that your major stakeholders don't care about. Step up to the plate and hit a home run. So how do we transform ourselves, our jobs, and the places that we work? What are the trends that are happening that impact us and that must drive what we do? Where are we? You know, in all libraries, our value to our organization must be continually demonstrated and delivered as we transform what we do and how we serve our patrons, students, customers, and clients. This is especially true for those that we serve who may think a library is not of value or have not used a library and its resources in a long time. Remember that word, disintermediation? That's what I'm talking about here. We are being asked to do more with less. We all know that. But what is really important is not waiting to be asked. We must be proactive, letting go of services and resources our customers don't want or need, and providing the ones that they do. Only then will we be perceived as invaluable to the organization. So again, there's that word, proactive. So proactive, invest in yourself. On this next slide, I have some math, but math that hopefully we can all understand, that transformation equals value and empowerment. And I love this quote. Librarians and information professionals need to be defined in terms of the value and benefit they provide to their organizations. So what we do needs to positively contribute to the bottom line of our organization or that of our clients. It does not matter what library organizational type we are in, whether it is in a for-profit or not-for-profit organization, we still need to demonstrate how we contribute to its health and well-being. I have a colleague who has worked as a part-time reference librarian for several years in a busy public library. Recently, the library hired a full-time librarian, and this colleague applied, or they advertised that they were going to hire. This colleague applied and went through the interview process. She was not hired. Why not? Was it because she didn't take on projects beyond her regular job duties? Was she irresponsible on the job? Was she a poor reference librarian? No, she was none of those things. But it's because she did not shout from the rooftops the value she brings to the library and its patrons. We may think that others know how good the work is that we do, but often those in positions of power to hire and fire do not know the value we bring to our organization. We must tell them verbally and in writing, and we must tell them continually, and then we must show them. We must never assume they know. And we also need to get our stakeholders to do that. Excuse me just a minute. I'm going to take a drink. Okay, and I'm also going to get a cough drop. I am so sorry. I haven't talked this much in 3 or 4 days. Hold on. Well, I unwrap the cough drop, but look at these job descriptions. Okay, these are job titles, actually. I want you to note that most of these job descriptions do not have the L word in them. So just remember, as we expand our skill set and move into expanded areas of information and knowledge management, we are transformed and become invaluable to our organizations and clients, and we contribute positively to the bottom line. So on this list of job titles, think about what do they mean to us, to our customers, our clients, our patrons, and to us as information professionals. And with these types of job titles in mind, the skills required and requested by employers and clients continue to expand and change, and we must move right along with them. And I know that a lot of us in the pharmaceutical division are doing non-traditional work, but I want to talk a little bit, maybe some of you are already doing this, about turning information into strategic knowledge. And what I mean here is using the transferable skills we already have, or perhaps need to ramp up, that will empower us to become more valuable in our libraries or move into careers that utilize our information professional skills. Many of you already may be doing this sort of work but have not used these terms and definitions. I can tell you that those working in these fields, many of them IT people, are good with systems but not with organizing strategic information to make it findable. I've heard my public and school librarian colleagues say that this is for the specialized or academic area of libraries, but that is not true. Most public libraries have a history room or other local collections, and every school has historical information that needs to be accessed. One of my colleagues is in the midst of a multi-year digitizing and indexing project in a public library history room. He will be monetizing and selling products created from this ongoing initiative. So it's a document management and digital asset management project that he's working on. Another colleague is working with K-12 private schools to help them wrangle the thousands of photos they take each year. These photos are not only for parents, but also for alumni and trustees, and are important for fundraising for school support. So it's important to think that, or to know that there are assets in every organization we are in that need organizing, not just more traditional materials. So, is your organization overloaded with paper and digital assets? Are you? Well, let's talk about some ways to turning something, an office that might look like this office, and we've all seen offices that look like that, into one that I'm going to show you on the next slide, and hopefully it will go. It's stuck in the red. There it goes. All right. So I admit my office doesn't look quite this neat, but it doesn't look like the one previously. And we've all read that if we have clutter, that it literally weighs us down psychologically. So if we can be better organized and help our organizations to be better organized, that's a huge asset. Think about, have you ever tried, I mean, my elevator speech is this. When somebody says, what do you do? And I say, have you ever tried to find an image or a document or some other piece of information that you know exists on your hard drive, on a shared drive, or even in a file cabinet or somewhere on your desk, but you just can't get your hands on it? And people always say yes, because everybody understands that and has experienced that. And then I tell them what Information Edge can do for them. Well, we can do the same thing in our organizations. Think about our own assets, and we're one person. Think about an organization that has 10 people or 100 people or 10,000 people, and how all that information is out there not being reused and repurposed, but recreated from scratch every time it's needed. It's not a great way to run a business. So we have skills that we can bring to our enterprise, to our organization, that can help them to leverage those strategic assets. So I'm just going to give you some fast definitions for this alphabet soup of initialisms. So ECM, of course, is Enterprise Content Management, and it's the strategies, methods, and tools used to capture, manage, store, preserve, and deliver content and documents related to organizational processes. So when it talks about a little bit why it's a little different than document management or digital asset management, is if you think about, I kind of relate it to federated search. If you think about federated search being this huge umbrella that brings many silos of information and knowledge together, that's what ECM does. But more importantly, it works through business processes and workflow. And a lot of document management software now and digital asset management software are also moving in that direction. But that's, ECM has really pioneered that, and it's important because it does both structured data and unstructured data. So wherever the information or strategic knowledge lives, ECM makes it findable and reusable. So it saves a lot of time and money. And document management, DM, well, these are systems that allow documents to be modified and managed, but typically lack the records retention and disposition functionality of records management, RM, or RIAM, records and information management. And some of the key features of DM are, you know, check-in and check-out and locking. I don't know if you've ever worked on something, in Google Docs, you can see somebody else working on a document, and you can't really overwrite somebody, but sometimes that can happen if two people are working on a shared document at once, and that's where check-in and check-out and locking make that so that it doesn't happen. Version control is really important, and if you want to see what version control is all about, if you have Windows 7 or even Windows 8, or you use Google Drive, you can see former versions of what you've created. And sometimes that's important to be able to roll back to another version or to see changes that have been made and by whom. Audit trail, you know, you can see where something has been and who's responsible for it, or maybe hasn't picked up the slack to get something approved, put a signature on it, that sort of thing. You can tag content so it's refindable, and you can do access, who can access information, who has permission to see certain documents or to even know that documents exist. You can have things indexed, but they may not show up when somebody does a search if they're not able to see that. And HR documents are a good example of that, which are, need to be confidential. The next one I want to talk about is document management, or digital asset management in MAM, which is media asset management. And the lines, I have to tell you, the lines are blurring between DM, ECM, and DAM, especially between DAM and DM, because their software now is beginning to be able to handle all kinds of workflow, different kinds of assets, whether they are digital, whether they're video, whether they're JPEGs, whether they're Word documents, whether they're CAD drawings. So it's really moving along. So digital asset management consists of management tasks and decisions surrounding the ingestion, annotation, cataloging, storage, retrieval, and distribution of digital assets. And if you replaced a few words in there, that's sort of what we do with more traditional library collections. And so we have these transferable skills that we can use to do these tasks and to propose these in our organizations to make us more valuable. And then MAM is a subcategory of DM, which you get into digital photos, animations, videos, and that sort of thing. And I'll give you a good example of MAM. We see it every day, but we probably don't even think about it. So for example, if you tune into the news tonight, or you looked last night, or during Superstorm Sandy, you were watching the news and you wanted to see what was going on, well, what you saw were clips, film clips, and you were able to see those right, because what happens is there are companies that make these videos, and they immediately, as they're ingested, they're tagging them. And then they sell them right away to media outlets, and that's how we're able to see those video segments that show up on the news every evening. So it's very interesting how that works. It's very fast. So the last one that I want to talk, second to last one, is RM, records management, or records and information management. And you see this more in government, counties, cities, state government, but it's also, a lot of those principles are still in play in document management as well. And you do see this in companies, especially for those that have government contracts, Sarbanes-Oxley, compliance issues, that sort of thing. So records management is a systematic control of records throughout their life cycle. So it's really, if you think about it, it's the creation, receipt, maintenance, use, and disposition of records. And disposition is a huge issue because of litigation. Most companies or organizations need to have a retention schedule, and many of them do not. I have many clients I've worked with who say, oh, we don't need, we're going to keep everything forever, but they open themselves up to a lot of litigation. So it's really important to know how long to keep things legally, and then when you can get rid of them, as well as the record that indicates that document, asset, media, whatever it was, even existed. And so a great place to find out more about records management and records and information management is ARMA.org. So think about records and all the different formats that they come in. You have physical paper, such as memos, contracts, marketing materials, and reports. And I actually just did, if you go to my website and look at my e-newsletter, you can see that I just did, I just wrote an article for FreePint. I take that back, but there is an article, an e-newsletter version on my website also about e-signatures, because that's a whole new thing that's around. It's not that new anymore, and people are using it instead of having to deal with somebody printing out something and then somebody signing it. You can digitally and use e-signatures, which are secure and specific to a document and a person. Think about electronic messages, such as email content and their attachments, and also instant messages. Think about all the text messages that are happening, and a lot of those are business related. They're not just personal. There's content on websites and extranets, as well as intranets. And there's documents that reside on smartphones, on tablets, flash drives, desktops, servers, and document management systems. There's information captured in the organization's various databases. So RM comes with a whole set of rules and legal issues governing the management of these internal documents. And learning the language and principles of records management can open up vast new opportunities for InfoPros. And ARMA does have some free resources and webinars on their site, so I encourage you to go check that out if you're interested in this. Now, the last of the alphabet soup that I want to talk about is knowledge management and knowledge services. And in SLA, we have our own guru for that, and that's Guy St. Clair. And in fact, he was instrumental in starting the master's program in this at Columbia University. So, you know, and he's got a great blog and website if you want to learn more about KMKS. That's a great place to go. And of course, SLA offers a certificate also in knowledge management. So KM, and you notice where this definition comes from, not from SLA, but from chiefinformationofficer.com, CIO.com, because again, who lives in this universe for the most part? IT people. We need to be in this universe, and many of us are moving in that direction. So KMKS is the process through which organizations generate value from their intellectual and knowledge-based assets. Most often, generating value from such assets involves codifying what employees, partners, and customers know, and sharing that information among employees, departments, and even with other companies in an effort to devise best practices. So a lot of it's that intellectual capital. And that's what I'm going to talk about next, is human capital, the stuff that's in people's heads. So what about the people in an organization and what they know? You know, you can have an expert database or knowledge base. That's a good solution. And of course, SharePoint has released SharePoint 2013, and there's a lot of buzz around that. And I know a lot of organizations use SharePoint as their expert database or knowledge base. And that's just one option. But if you've already using SharePoint, that's something to think about. And then you have to decide, will this knowledge base be separate or will it be integrated into enterprise-wide content management? And lastly, well, not lastly, firstly, really, we all need to think about how we'll be a mover and shaker in this, not waiting to be asked, but again, being proactive and taking our skills. And think about that often what a client wants is wants to find someone in his or her organization who can tell her in 10 minutes or less what she needs to know to do her work. She doesn't even want to read a few of those great articles we might provide with our value-added analysis. No, she wants an expert, and that's an expert database can provide that intellectual capital sharing. So how do we put this all into action? Well, one of the things we really need to think about, there's grassroots, which is good, but remember that funding comes from the top. So we have to get senior executive or C-suite, you know, the CIO, CFO, whoever it is, support so that cross-organizational buy-in can follow. And then we need to collaborate with IT or your IS department or take this role on. And I know I've had colleagues say, well, I don't know how to do that, but it's okay because the IT folks, they know how to deal with the hardware and the software, but we're the ones who are professionals at organizing information and turning it into strategic knowledge and making it accessible and reusable in our organizations. So 10 years ago, when I'd approached the IT staff of clients to collaborate, they usually responded, "We don't need you. We know what we're doing." But now they say, "Oh, we're so glad you're here." They are overwhelmed just keeping up with the hardware and software stuff that they have to deal with. And they recognize that making strategic information findable is not their strength. And if you're not on good terms with your IT folks, I encourage you to get on good terms. Invite them out for a cup of coffee and let them know you appreciate them. Bring them some Ghirardelli or See's chocolate. You will be amazed at the partnerships that can come out of that because you'll both benefit from it. All right, so we are going to, whoops, I skipped a slide. We're going to take a poll. So I think I told you that this was slide 28, and I thought it was, but you know what? I think I switched it around, and I didn't. Alex, I don't think I sent you this, did I, this poll? Uh-oh. Alex, no, are you there?
No, you didn't. I was on mute. Okay. I was busy typing it in. So if you'll give me a few seconds, I'll type it in.
Okay, so while he's typing, so I have a little challenge for you. Maybe some of you are already doing this. I know we have a lot of CAM folks and KS folks already in our division. But I would like to know, and you can check all that apply to you, is which expanded role will you take on in your organization? So here's those alphabet soup stuff spelled out for you. and which ones will you take on? This is a problem with having a cold. My brain has not been as clear as it needs to be, so I apologize to Alex and to all of you for that. So I hope that as I'm talking, I've given you a lot of food for thought, that you'll type some questions into the box, and we can have an organization. Okay, the poll is open, so please, we'll give you about 30 seconds. Please check all the ones that are relevant to you. And I don't have a none of the above, you notice, because that's not an option as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
All right, so we'll keep it open for another 10 seconds.
Thanks for timing it.
5, 4, 3, last chance, 2, and 1. We'll go ahead and close that. And what we found is 79% said records management, 32% said enterprise content management, 24% digital asset management, 21% document management, and 15% records management.
Okay. All right. So was the first 79% was knowledge management?
That's correct.
Okay. Good. Good. That's great. So I'm glad that you're thinking about this, because it's just something to add to our toolbox, things that we can do. And the reason Alex read that, by the way, kind of a funny thing with GoToWebinar is the person presenting cannot see the poll nor the results. So thank you so much for reading that. And thank you all for participating. All right. So we're going to go on to the next part here about demonstrating our value. And this is where we're going to turn that our expertise into strategic value. So I don't think that's popped up for you guys. I'm watching it, Phil. Here we go. All right, so we're going to talk about demonstrating our value. Well, you know, we have to engage our clients on their terms and add value where we can. Do we have a very visible web or other online presence, whether it's intranet or extranet? Are we the innovators in our organizations to implement, model, and test Web 2.0 and other strategic tools? We need to be comfortable that we add value, possibly in ways new to us. We are likely working with millennials and others for whom texting and Web 2.0 networking is where they are at. This may not be true of all our potential users or clients, but we need to be agile enough to live in both the print, well, not both, in the print, digital, and virtual worlds. This doesn't mean being an expert in everything, but knowing enough to speak intelligently about these tools. And on one consulting gig I had some time ago, I was sitting in a meeting. It was one of the preliminary meetings. It was a digital asset management project. And we were talking about some scenarios for possible solutions to them wrestling and wrangling. They had tens of thousands of images. And one young man who was there suggested that blogging would take care of all the enterprise content search needs of the firm. Well, I was able to explain that it could be one component of a way for staff to communicate, but that there were better tools available and why. So it's really important for us to know enough about the tools that we're talking about. And you know, there may be firewalls. I've had a lot of colleagues say, well, I can't do webinars, or I can't participate in this or that because of firewall issues. And sometimes we need to do this on our own time, you know, increase those skills, because our lives are busy, and you know, at work sometimes we don't have time to do that. So I encourage you to make time to do that, even if it's 15 minutes a week. Most of us can carve out 15 minutes a week to do that. So I want you to think about these bullet points here. You know, make yourself indispensable, innovate. Don't wait to be asked. Those who are going to move ahead are the people innovating. And again, we don't want to get passed over because we didn't think of something that we knew how to do, but maybe we were a little bit cautious about it. And I'm not suggesting here that we leap off the edge into the darkness, not knowing where we're going, but that we cultivate these skills and learn about the culture in our institution, cultivate that relationship with the IT, IS people so that we have a safety net. I'm not saying we have to be 100% safe. My motto has been, and I learned this at my many years at the Exploratorium, which is a rather anarchical place to work at. It's a museum of science, art, and human perception in San Francisco, if you don't know what it is. And I learned to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Now, I'm not saying in every organization that's good, because you might lose your job because of that, but I have found that in most cases, if you're ready to innovate and you don't wait to be asked, people are excited to hear what you bring to the table. Make presentations. Talk about the skills that you bring. Think about what it is that you bring to the table and how you can get support from the ground up, but also for those in the C-suite. They will recognize that you can do these things and positively affect the organization's bottom line. And again, I talked about Web 2.0 tools. Use the ones that will be easy to make it easy for you to be out there. Use Hootsuite or TweetDeck. There's Tweet to Talk. There are so many different things out now that you can use that are easy to use and don't cost anything. Just a little bit of a learning curve. All right. I have another great quote. We must find a way to involve ourselves in projects, products, and plans that not only ensure our continued employment, but also have an effect on the bottom line and have maximum impact on the organization. We must effectively align ourselves with the primary objectives of our organization. So when was the last time that you looked at your library or departmental mission statement and your goals? Do they align completely with those of your organization? Maybe they're even exactly the same as the ones that your organization has. So think about that, and when was the last time you visited those? So let's be agile enough and forward-thinking and acting so that we can move on in our profession and earn the respect and gratitude of those that we work with. We only deserve that. And I'm going to take another drink of water. Hold on. All right, so back to what's in it for me. Think about this. Think about your own organization. How do they leverage their knowledge right now? You know, most knowledge workers, that's everyone, have little or no control over their documents and their intellectual capitals, which means they are spinning their wheels. We can help. Knowledge professionals, that's us, are an asset to any organization, and more power will come to us if we take advantage of the opportunities out there. So let's not let those get away from us. All right. So where do you want to be? Do you want to be on the left side of the screen, or do you want to be on the right side? You know, I see my career, my colleagues at all career levels struggling with layoffs and job insecurity. There are vast opportunities for information professionals, and I want to see us benefit from those opportunities. Over the years, my consulting work has evolved in a way that I think mirrors what I see happening in the job market for us as information professionals. When I started, when I started consulting many years ago, I mostly did value-added research and library creation and automation. But soon my library automation clients asked me how they could organize their internally created assets, both digital and print, so they would be as easily accessible as the library collection. And that is how I added document, digital asset, and enterprise content management to the services I offer. I was able to transform libraries into strategic knowledge centers for my clients. You can do this too. Yes, there is risk going into places we've not been before, but risk, when planned and executed well, leads to rewards in how our value is measured in terms that are important to our organizations or stakeholders. This value can be translated directly into measurable outcomes and metrics that lead to more support for our libraries and our jobs in terms of money and job security. And the last issue, the September-October issue, is all about, of Information Outlook, is all about measuring and metrics. It's really a great issue if you haven't had a chance to look at it. All right, so now we're going to have a poll. So please check all that apply. I'll give you 30 seconds to do that. Thanks.
Okay, 15 seconds. Five, four, three, two, and the poll is closed. And evaluate my core skills and how they transfer to other areas was answered by 54%. Invest myself through professional development, 73%. Network with colleagues and potential employers, 66%. And try the new software or social tool, 80%.
All right. You guys are inspiring me. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Okay. So thank you, everybody. And so Now, you have to think about how you're going to do this and when you're going to do it. So I'm not going to let you off the hook completely, but remember you got to plan for it. All right. So that's something that you have to write down, one thing you're going to do and when you're going to do it by, and I hope it's by January 15th. We'll give you a month with the holidays in there, or a little over a month to do that. All right. So I just want to us to all remember, you know, that this is all about lifelong learning. This isn't something we're going to do in one day, in a week, or a month. We may pick one skill that we're going to increase over a couple of months, but we really need to think about how we're going to get where we're going. And we need to throw in all these things here. We have ingenuity, resilience, and the last one I really want to talk about, because a lot of times we don't talk about that. And I have to say, one of the things I learned about was play when I was at the exploratorium. We played a lot, and that's how science happens. That's how we learn. And I hope that you'll think about that, because play is something that you can do in a non-threatening environment. And that is why I love volunteering, because it's an opportunity to learn to play where our job isn't on the line. And it actually usually gives us more skills than we had, or strengthens ones that we already do have. You know, we might be happy where we are in our professional lives, but it pays to be continually positioning and repositioning ourselves for opportunities both within and outside our organization. We can't rest on our laurels, or we'll be downsized, outsourced, or made obsolete. And I know these are strong words, but they're also a call to action. We can no longer assume that what we do is perceived as valuable if it does not directly impact the bottom line and align with the objectives and goals of our organization or that of our clients. So let's be proactive and get out there, but have fun doing it too. Yeah, there's going to be hard stuff, but we can do hard stuff. Okay, so now I have one more quote here. Excellence is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, skillful execution, and the vision to see obstacles as opportunities. I love this quote. Do we see challenges as stumbling blocks or as stepping stones? I find that if it's the former, we tune out possibilities. If it's the latter, then we can move forward. I'm passionate about what I do and what we can do as a profession. Together, we can create a more healthy and sustainable future as we grow our skill set and shout from the rooftops the value that we bring to our employers, potential employers, and clients. Together we can make change happen and transform ourselves and the places where we work. So I'm not going to let you off here. I've had 45 minutes of your time, almost 45 minutes. I have homework for you. So what skills can you learn or hone to move in this direction? How and when will you do this? And what skills do you already have? Now, we all have a lot of skills, but think about how you can use those skills to move on or to expand your career potential. We have a good solid footing from which to grow and develop these new and expanded skills. Yes, we are all busy, but if we want to remain employable and moving forward, there are many opportunities to do so. If we think outside the box and get moving, we'll be able to do this. So how will you do this? Will you volunteer? Maybe do an internship. And I want to remind you that mid-career internships are big. Doesn't mean you have to be a student to do an internship. Remember my friend I mentioned at the public library who was doing a huge digital asset management project that he planned to monetize in his history room? He has 31 interns and volunteers, and I'd say about five of those are full-time students. All the rest are information professionals and librarians who want to up their skill set so they can put it on their resume. Think about opportunities at your current job, or think about taking a class or certification course. I mentioned earlier, when will you do this? And I'll give you an example. At the beginning of 2011, I set a goal to be certified as an enterprise content management practitioner by the June 2011 SLA conference. That was a measurable goal. I knew what the certification involved, and I set a time each week to work on it. And I built in a couple of weeks extra because I knew I wouldn't get to it every week. But if I hadn't done that, it wouldn't have happened. So I want to remind you about some places, resources that you can go to learn more. You know, as members of SLA, we have a lot of great resources out there. And as soon as this slide pops all the way up, it seems to be stuck on 96%. Alex, can you see the slide that says learn more? Ah, it should have popped up now. So, you know, ClickU has some great stuff, and there's replays. They're very inexpensive. I think they're $29. And the KM division has some great stuff. I have a LinkedIn Career Sustainability group, and I hope that all of you will consider joining the group. It's free, of course. There's over 300 people there. You can ask questions. You can lurk. You can be seen as an expert and answer questions. I talked about ECM, Enterprise Content Management. AIM.org is a great place to do that. That is where I got my certification. And they also have a LinkedIn group. And then there's a LinkedIn DAM group that's a very good group and a great place to lurk and to learn. So just the last thing I want to say is, you know, thank you so much for listening to me today. I apologize for my froggy throat and my sniffly nose, but we got through this, and I hope you'll contact me. My colleague David Grossman and I have been doing some very successful webinars and expanding your career potential, where we really get into the nitty-gritty about you get a personal roadmap and how to go on. I've begun doing coaching on this. Feel free to email me or check out my monthly e-newsletter. I won't give or sell your name to anybody. And visit me online. You know, link to me on LinkedIn if we're not linked yet. So with that, I'm going to turn it over for questions, and I hope that I know your brains are probably full. It's the end of the day. But I hope that you'll have some questions and we can have a dialogue here in the few minutes that we have left. And thanks, Alex, for doing all your work.
Oh, thank you, Deb. And no, it's fine. And for those of you who have questions, go ahead and type those in the questions box, and we'll go ahead and ask them. In the meantime, Deb, I'll put you on the spot with another question. As SLA members, as many of us are, what can we do to help each other out?
Okay. The first thing that comes to mind is to volunteer. What I hear from a lot of members is that their chapter is having, especially this happens in the chapters more than the divisions, but also happens in the smaller divisions, that they're having trouble getting folks to volunteer. And when I say volunteer, remember, you don't have to be president of a chapter or a division chair, though that would be great, but you can start small. And I'll give a personal example of that that wasn't actually SLA related, but it helped me to keep my chops, so to speak, professionally. When my children were little, I volunteered to be the newsletter editor for my alumni, my library school alumni newsletter. And then I did that also for my chapter, because I felt comfortable then moving into doing it to my chapter. Didn't take that much time. And of course, now we have websites for everybody. But it was something that helped me learn a new skill. It kept me connected, because I stayed at home for a while and wasn't working outside the home. And my network kept growing and my skills kept growing. And it didn't take that much time. So I think what I would challenge all of you to do is to think about, and you know, again, please don't say I'm too busy, because what I hear from most people, and I know we're all at different places in our lives, but what I find is that as soon as we say we're too busy, we tune out potential possibilities, networking opportunities, and possibly career opportunities. Most of my work, most of it comes from networking. People say, oh, you do this, don't you? Or I have somebody who I think needs to use your services. And that's, you know, we can get work, we can learn new skills, and SLA is a great place to do that. It's a non-threatening way. All of us have a division and a chapter that we get to sign up for free. We need to take advantage. We need to give. And what I have found is every time I give, and I don't do this on purpose, whoops, you guys don't want to see my Google Calendar, is that I get so much more back. And that's not why I volunteer, but it seems to happen every single time. It's the most amazing thing. So thanks for asking that, Alex.
Another question came in. Any recommendations on moving from librarianship into a business analyst role? Any certifications, organizations, or networking advice in this area?
It's funny that you asked that, because about 2 years ago, I was approached, and I can't remember even the organization, about being a business analyst as a consultant. And I looked it over, and I thought, well, that isn't for me. I mean, I do analysis all the time when I do research for clients, and I provide a value-added analysis and an executive summary. But being an analyst is a whole different thing, and it utilizes a lot of the skills. So I think that's a really good parallel career to look at, but I don't know. And if anybody else has suggestions, I think that would be a great one to put out to the listserv, you know, to the chapter or to the division listserv, or even your chapter listserv. But there are associations out there, and I would do a little research and find out who's there and what's there. And my guess is those associations will have certifications that you can do. But what I found is, just like any of these other parallel careers, it, you know, you're being proactive. That's great that you're thinking about it. Go after it. Go chase that dream. Find out what you need to do and go for it. Don't let anything hold you back.
Yeah, and if I'm going to tap on behind that, as a plug for our division, as far as the Pharmaceutical and Health Technology Division, what we've done and we're in process of publishing is a series of 10 interviews with people who have moved from librarian positions to non-traditional librarian positions, and exactly what are the skill sets that they had to sell and take with them to move from that. So the person who asked that question, we specifically did ask somebody who did move into a business analyst role. So if you want to email me, this is Alex, chair@pht.sla.org. I can certainly provide you the transcript of that interview.
That's great. Alex, when are those going to go up so we can all see them?
Yeah, those are going up on a every other month basis. Two of them have gone up. The next one probably go up in about January of next year.
Okay, great. That's so exciting. That's right. I do remember seeing those now, but I wasn't thinking the business analyst one wasn't ringing a bell. So, but that one's going to go up. That isn't up yet, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
Great.
At this point, Deb, that's all the questions that we have. So, thank you for volunteering your time, and thank you everybody for listening in. And certainly,
thanks so much.
Would it be fair for me, Deb, to say that if anybody has any questions, they can certainly reach out to you?
Yes, they can. And I want to thank all of you for coming today because, you know, I'm just like all of you. I'm just the crazy person who said I would run for president and president-elect. And we can all give to the organization. So I hope you'll all consider whether you have 5 minutes a week or 5 hours a month, whatever it is. You've got plenty of us around that you can ask what it entails. You've got Alex has been super proactive with the division this year. He's been great. And he's set the bar high for the rest of us, but we can all contribute in some way. So please remember that and think about how you want to contribute. And I promise you, without a doubt, you will get back way more than you contribute. That's a promise on my part.
Excellent. Well, everybody have a splendid weekend, and we'll all see each other soon, hopefully. Thanks,
Thank
Deb.
You. Bye-bye.